August is turning out to be one of the deadliest months of fighting in war-torn Yemen as U.S.-backed fighters gear up to take control over the port city of Hodeidah. Most of the nation's goods enter through the port, making it strategically one of the most critical regions to control. The assault could be a turning point in the war, but it could also spell more devastation for a population already enduring starvation and disease. Isabel Young is a correspondent for Vice News Tonight on HBO. She just returned from Yemen earlier this month, and she joins me now in the studio. Hi, Isabel.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Isabel, Americans may not be all that familiar with this years-long Yemen civil war. It pits a regional coalition led by Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates against Houthi rebels that seize parts of the country. Can you explain why and how the United States is involved in this?
Yeah, I mean, the United States is essentially backing the coalition. So as you said, the Saudis and the UAE, essentially, they are selling billions of dollars worth of weaponry to the coalition. They are providing intelligence to them and they are refueling bombers mid-air, which is why they are complicit in this war.
You were in Hodeidah, Yemen, and these forces, these U.S.-backed forces, called this campaign for control of the city Operation Golden Victory. This Saudi-led U.S.-backed coalition, if they're able to gain control of that city, what will it mean for the trajectory of the war?
Yeah, I mean, as you said, it could potentially be a pretty big turning point. I mean, this is where 70% of the goods enter the country. So if the coalition is able to take that back, that would mean a huge financial victory for them. It's a huge city. I think it's about 600,000 residents are living there. So it would be a massive win for the coalition in what has largely been quite a stagnant war over the last 3.5 years. I mean, the front lines haven't moved a whole lot. So it would be a really significant victory for the coalition.
How have the Houthis been able to maintain control of the city to this point?
They took control of the city at the end of 2014. And I mean, they have a serious amount of military power. I mean, when we were there in and around the areas of Hodeidah, we were on the front lines as the coalition-backed forces were attempting to take back one of the main Houthi supply roads. And that failed. I mean, they weren't expecting the force of the Houthis and this very strong counterattack, which meant that they lost several of their own forces. The Houthis are very serious about protecting that port.
And where do they get their support from? They're backed by Iran, and they also have other support as well, and they also have the support of the people in certain areas.
Yeah, I mean, in the north, there is some support for the Houthis, yes. And yeah, there is Iranian-backed support going in there as well that there's been some evidence of.
UN peacekeepers are making an effort to negotiate a ceasefire for the port city. Do you know where that stands? And is there any sense that that could actually resolve the conflict or at least resolve the conflict for this particular city?
Yeah, I mean, there has been a pause on the fighting, at least in theory, since the UN has been trying to negotiate these peace talks. The peace talks themselves will take place, I think, on the 6th of September in Geneva. And we'll see where that goes. I mean, they're hoping, obviously, for a political solution. The last peace talks broke down in 2016. There's not a huge amount of optimism for them, to be honest, because there's a lot of different sides in this war. And some of those sides won't be present at those peace talks. So, you know, they're starting on somewhat of a bad leg. But yeah, we'll see where they go. And at the moment, the fighting is kind of on the periphery of the city and sometimes breaking out in the city itself. But so far, the coalition have held back on a full-fledged offensive on the actual city until they see the results of these peace talks.
When you were there, what was the toll that you saw that the war has taken on the civilian population in the city in terms of food shortages, starvation? I mean, what is the effect on civilians there?
I mean, it's pretty significant. We saw a lot of people who had fled or were fleeing the city as we were approaching it. I think over 120,000 people have already fled over the last couple of months. This is, as I said, where the majority of the goods and basic food and aid enter the country. This is a country where already over 22 million people are in need of some form of humanitarian aid. So it is, I mean, one of the poorest countries in the world in desperate need of help. And instead, they are facing this potential huge battle taking place there. So there's a lot of fear. And on top of that, within the battle itself, we saw civilians who were caught in the crossfire. So we saw a 10-year-old boy who'd been struck by a Houthi mortar as he was staying in his house. We saw people who'd been struck by coalition airstrikes. So both sides seem to be, frankly, abusing international humanitarian laws, and it's having a horrendous impact on civilians themselves.
There was also a bombing of a school bus carrying dozens of children, and that seemed to bring some international attention to the war. Has that bombing resonated in the country? Were people talking about it? Was there an awareness of it?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't there when that bombing happened, but it is one of the most horrific incidents that's happened from the coalition side in terms of the civilian deaths. I think it was about 40 children. It was 40 children who died as a result of that. Although it's not an isolated incident. I mean, the majority of civilian deaths over the last 3.5 years throughout this civil war have been as a result of coalition airstrikes. So, I mean, people in the north are sadly pretty familiar with these sorts of events. And actually, we spoke in our piece to some of the Houthi fighters, and these are like 16, 17-year-old fighters, which is, you know, potentially an abuse of children themselves. But right. We asked them why they joined, and they said, you know, we saw our neighbors, we saw women, we saw children being killed by airstrikes, and that drove us towards joining this fight and towards joining the rebel cause.
And I should add, there's also been reports that the weapons used in the attack were from the U.S., but that hasn't been confirmed yet, right?
Yeah, there's potential signs that, yes, some of those bombs could have been sourced from the U.S. themselves. So, yeah, it's somewhat terrifying when you think about the complicitness of the U.S.
Thank you for your reporting from the front lines to bring us a story and to risk your life to bring us a story. We appreciate it. Isabel Young is a correspondent for Vice News Tonight on HBO. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.